treasure of content that is mine today. Dear Lord, kind Lord, gracious Lord, I pray Thou wilt look on all I love tenderly today.
I want Jesus to walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me. Jesus, to walk with me. In my trials, Lord, walk with me. In my trials, Lord, walk with me. When my heart is almost breaking, I want Jesus to walk with me. When I'm in trouble, Lord, walk with me. When I'm in trouble, Lord, walk with me. When my head is bowed in sorrow, Jesus, to walk with me, to walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me.
We all need a Nathan in our lives. Now, we very well may not want a Nathan, but we need one, Nathan. That person who's going to call out, to let us know, to point at us and say, you're the man. The Nathan that we need in our lives is that same Nathan that King David had in his life, who confronted David and let him know about his sin. David had an affair with Bathsheba, and then to make matters worse, he tried to cover it up, and he had her husband, Uriah, killed. And so God's prophet Nathan confronted David and told him this parable, told him a story. There was a rich man who had a traveler come and visit. In order to prepare a meal for the traveler, instead of taking a lamb from his own flock, he took the only lamb from a poor man. David was furious with this character, this rich man. He said, he needs to be killed. He should pay and owe him four times more. In which Nathan looked at him and said, you are the man. We need a Nathan in our lives to let us know when we're in the wrong, to call us out, to tell us that you are, in fact, that man. But Matt, Nathan was pointing out David's sin. He had an affair. Paul says in Romans 3:23 that for all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. But Nathan pointed out that David, he had Uriah killed. Paul says, for all have sinned and fall short. Nathan, he called David on trying to cover all that sin up. Paul says that all of us have sinned. Now, we may not be guilty of those same big sins that David committed, but Paul reminds us that we all have sinned. And the fact of the matter is that because of our human nature, we are not perfect. We have sinned yesterday. We sin today, and we will find ourselves sinning tomorrow. Sin. It's not a topic that we find ourselves wanting to discuss. In fact, we tend to avoid the conversation of sin. I mean, who wants someone to point out our sins or to remind us of our perhaps worst moments of our lives, our mistakes, our stumblings, our shortcomings? Today is the first Sunday of Lent, and it's typically a season within the church where we take time to look inward, where we examine ourselves, and we recognize and realize that we have sin in our lives. As we prepare ourselves for the Easter event, the Easter celebration, realizing that we are all sinners helps us to better appreciate our need for a Savior. And so today I invite you to hear the words of our psalmist, who speaks about personal sin, who shares with us some advice that he has learned from his mistakes. These are words that we all need to hear as sinners. I invite you to hear these words from Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you, while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the ones or the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Right off the bat, in these first two verses, we can come to the conclusion. We see the main point of the psalm here, forgiveness. These first two verses, they read as the Beatitudes. Blessed are, fortunate are, lucky are those who are forgiven. This theme of forgiveness we see throughout the Psalms. In order to be righteous, in order to have a right relationship with God, to be right with God, it's not following all the rules and living a sinless life. To be righteous means to acknowledge that sin is cluttered throughout our life and the consequences of those sins as well. To be righteous, to be right with God, is to be forgiven. To be righteous, to be right with God, is to live as a witness to God's grace that comes in our forgiveness. Forgiveness. Have you ever had an argument or a fight with spouse, family, siblings, brothers and sisters? We never fight. Or even as a child or a youth, you've had a disagreement or you've misbehaved and you got in trouble with your parents. I remember one time when I was a boy and my parents were out of town and I messed up. My grandparents were the ones that were watching us and my grandma had to be the one to call me down. She had to punish me. I think that's the first time I ever heard my grandma raise her voice to me. She sent me to bed. That was my punishment. I cried myself to sleep that night because my grandma was upset with me. And first thing I did in the morning was run to her to tell her I was sorry, hoping that she would forgive me. Do you remember that feeling that we have, that relief when someone forgives us? When the relationships that have been broken are mended, when we've been in arguments and fights and disagreements, we're forgiven. Forgiveness. Sin left unchecked, sin left unforgiven, can weigh heavy down upon us. It can be a burden upon us on our shoulders that's difficult to bear. Forgiveness is the power for new life. In verses 3 through 7, we'll see how the psalmist shares from personal experience. He says, when I kept silent, you see the effects it has upon him of sin. My bones wasted away. Could it be weight loss? Growing all day long, discomfort and pain. Day and light, your heavy hand was upon me. Restlessness, probably some sleepless nights. My strength was zapped. We feel weak at times. When the psalmist kept silent, it was because he did not recognize and or acknowledge his sin. Sometimes we keep silent because we don't recognize and or acknowledge our sin. First of all, we need to realize that sin is real. You see in verse 5 where the psalmist actually uses three different terms for sin. We have a lot of words that can describe it. Sin, transgressions is when you willfully rebel. Iniquity, guilt, talks about the ongoing effects of being disobedient. Sin, we've heard that term, it means missing the mark. I remember when I was a boy, probably about the same time, I don't know if it's the same situation of how old I was when I disobeyed and my grandma was upset. But for Christmas one year, I got a bow and arrow set, a compound bow, in fact, 25-pound compound bow. I was all excited. And so my dad, he set up a target for me, a bale of hay, and he put it right in front of the woodpile. And so when I would shoot at the target and I would miss the mark, that's what sin is. You're missing the mark. You're aiming for the target, but you miss. The arrow would go and hit the woodpile. Well, it was good because I didn't have to chase it all the way through the woods and track it down. I just went and picked it up. But the only problem was these aluminum arrows I kept shooting, they would get bended and they would become hard to shoot straight. A bend in arrow, when you shoot it, would not hit the target. It would miss the mark. Sometimes when we sin, we become bended and broken. And it gets harder and harder for us to hit that target, to not miss the mark. Sometimes, you know, we don't acknowledge our sins and we don't confess our sins because we don't recognize our sins. There's a joke that goes around preachers that you're there after you've preached a wonderful, uplifting, encouraging sermon, you know, like one on the subject of sin that everybody wants to hear and talk about. And folks are passing out in the back and they're shaking your hand and saying, "That was such a great sermon, preacher. I'm so glad old Bubba over there was here to hear it." Yeah, old Bubba, he's a big sinner there. We miss seeing the sin in our lives and recognize it because we're so busy pointing out the speck of dust in someone else's eye, we don't see that plank of wood that's in our own. We don't confess our sins and acknowledge them because sometimes we just don't recognize that are there. But we're too busy looking at other sins. Walter Brueggemann, he's an Old Testament scholar. He has written a lot about the Psalms. He says that we as humanity have a deep capacity for self-deception. We lie to ourselves. We deceive ourselves because we don't recognize our own faults and our own shortcomings. And then sometimes when we find ourselves realizing we have sin in our lives, we don't confess those sins because of the guilt we feel. We're not to acknowledge and confess our sins just to get rid of some emotion that we have. We are to acknowledge and confess our sins because we realize they block our life with God. They break up our relationship that we have with God. And so the psalmist goes on, he talks about in verse 5, acknowledging and confessing his sins to God, and God forgives him. Then he goes on to say that this is offered, this forgiveness is offered to everyone. When the mighty waters rise, when the floods of trouble, the problems, the temptation come upon us, the psalmist shares a personal example, his experience. He said, "When this happened to me, I found that God hides me, God protects me, and God surrounds me with shouts of rescue." I want to take a moment and to realize that the sins that we have in our life, when we feel like those floodwaters are rising up around us, the troubles and the temptations and all those things are coming upon us, I want us to again hear those words and take to heart what the psalmist shared from his experience. God hides me. God protects me. God surrounds me with shouts of rescue. And so for all this to come, for God's forgiveness, for God's protection, and God's shouts, for this to need to be happen, there's a key word here. And it's in contrast with to be silent. When the psalmist was silent, he felt the heavy burden upon him of his sin. But when he acknowledged his sin and confessed his sin, then God forgave him. As we mentioned earlier, that we are in the middle or beginning the season of Lent. And it is known as a journey to the cross as we prepare ourselves for the Easter celebration, the Easter resurrection. I want us to take a moment just to particularly notice the cross here in our sanctuary. It's here every week, and sometimes we might notice it or not, but I want us to particularly focus it on today, this cross. And as we turn our eyes and attention to it, encourage us all this week, over the next month, to pause, to look inward, to reflect, to acknowledge and to confess. And see, the text also listed another text that we had listed in the bulletin. It comes from a time where Jesus was tempted in the desert for 40 days. And I want us to go a step further to not just recognize and acknowledge our sins, but I want us to try to be aware of some of those temptations that we might face so that we know if we're going to have an issue in this one particular area of our lives, if this is going to be a temptation for us, then we need to do things to avoid those temptations. It could be realizing a person, a place, a situation, or whatever it might be, we need to take a break or guard ourselves more or study more to better strengthen ourselves to avoid those temptations. Thomas A. Kempis, in his book, The Imitation of Christ, he wrote this challenge for all of us to hear. He said, so many people are kept back from their spiritual growth and from tackling their faults in earnest by one single fault, running away from difficulties. We don't like a tussle. We avoid talking about our sin. We avoid recognizing our sin. We avoid acknowledging our sin. We avoid trying to look at some of the temptations we may face because, I mean, temptations, are, we fall to them because they're things that we want to do because of our human nature. It is a hard thing to do. It is a challenge. So it's going to take work. It's going to be something that we have to focus on Christ. I read recently an illustration about a boy who was courting. He was dating this young lady. He was a young man. And she happened to live about 2 miles on the other side of town. And so he was all excited. They were going to be going on a date, and he was looking forward to it. So he left later in the afternoon and made his way walking over to this young lady's house. And on the way there, he happened to pass by a candy store. He thought about how much she loves chocolate, so he stopped and bought her some chocolates to carry and give to her. Then a little ways on, he passed by a flower shop. And he thought about this girl and how beautiful she might look with a corsage. So he bought her a corsage to pin on her dress as they would go out on their date later on. He was still so excited and focused on his date that he passed by some of his friends that he didn't even notice. He kept on walking. He saw a church that he remembered she mentioned that she would like to get married someday in that church. There were probably about a dozen things that happened on this young man's walk, all because this young lady was on his mind. All because she was on his conduct. If we stay focused on Christ, if we keep our eyes on the cross, then it will help us bypass some of these temptations, avoid some of the shortcomings and falls and traps that we find ourselves falling into because we are focused on Christ, because He is on our mind. He is living within us, and He is a part of our conduct, and He will help us to live the way He has called us to live. Today, we've got just a simple reminder as part of our message here of what the psalmist shares. Just gave you this sheet of paper. It's a challenge for us, first and foremost, to recognize the sins that's in our lives, to acknowledge those sins, and then in turn to confess them, to give them to God. And this is something, if you want to participate, you're more than welcome to, just to take a moment to think of any sins that you have in your life. And it may be that nothing comes to your mind. It might be a prayer that you need to pray to God to reveal to you, or you know, you can ask your spouse and they'll be happy to point out some of the things that we've done wrong. But take a moment and write down those sins that you want to acknowledge, to recognize, to give to God, And they're for yourself. Don't give them to your neighbor to brag about them or see which one's the worst sinner here today. But just take a moment to write those down and to keep them, to tear them up, to get rid of them. Scripture says that God forgets our sins as far as the east is from the west. I could spend probably an hour up here writing them down. I figured in front of y'all I should only just write a few. The whole point of what the psalmist was saying was forgiveness. Being a Christian and living a righteous life, it's not about following all the rules and being able to pat ourselves on the back because we are perfect and we don't have any sin in our lives. Again, being right with God is realizing that our lives are cluttered with sin and there's consequences to them. But as the psalmist says, there is relief that comes because God forgives all of our sins. All we got to do is recognize them and acknowledge them and confess them. Let that be our challenge today, to give to God our sins, to confess them, to pray for forgiveness, and then to ask God to help us avoid those sins in the future, to recognize those temptations coming on so we can bypass them and just stay focused on the cross. Will you pray with me? We thank you, God, just for forgiveness. We know through the cross and what Christ did for us, we don't deserve that. But it's through your grace, through your love, that you forgive us. When we sin one time, when we sin 100 times, when we find ourselves sinning more than we can even count, you forgive us. God, I thank you for that. And I thank you for the forgiveness that you have extended to everyone. May we recognize our sins. May we acknowledge them and give them to you. Lead us, guide us, strengthen us as we strive to be like Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.